I started a series last Sunday called Dangerous Prayers, and I suppose dangerous is fitting on Mother's Day because we're all still a little scared of our mothers for one reason or another. But still, I always like to speak to the event, and I wondered exactly how I could fit a dangerous prayer into Mother's Day, and I think I got it. I think the Lord has directed me well, but you may be here today, maybe our guest, or maybe you missed the setup last Sunday, but what in the world is a dangerous prayer, you ask? We're used to praying safe prayers and static prayers. And I'm not kidding when I say that. I pray for good parking spots. I really do. If I'm running late, I pray for all green lights. I need to get through. I need to get down this road as quickly as possible. I pray the Lord would help me to pick good restaurants. You only get so many good meals in life. You can't waste them. You can't waste them on bad restaurants. And I pray all kinds of prayers, and I'm going to keep praying those prayers. But last Sunday we talked about praying dangerous prayers, and we began last Sunday with the prayer, "Search me. Look through my head, look through my heart, look at my spirit and know me. I want you to know me, God. I want you to search me." It is a dangerous prayer because you may find something. He may show you something. And I encouraged all of us in the room last Sunday to pray that prayer every day this last week. And I trust you've done that, and that you and the Lord have had a beautiful time working through and talking through those things together. And I wish all of our ladies a happy Mother's Day, but I don't know that you're going to like this prayer, because this is a dangerous prayer. This prayer will make you uncomfortable. This prayer will inconvenience you. It's likely to frustrate you. And if you pray it right, this prayer will actually make your life harder. And you may already be checking out, because why in the world would I pray this prayer? And it takes a lot of courage, because it is a dangerous prayer to pray, "God, break my heart." I know mothers have plans, and this message is probably a bit ambitious today, but I hope you'll hear me for just a few moments. And I couldn't help but feel like mothers were going to understand, because mothers understand broken hearts. Yeah, the sad kind, it happens, and there's sadness in mothering and challenges and all of that, but I'm really talking about a spiritually broken heart. "Lord, break my heart." When I pray that, I'm asking God to break my heart, to crush my heart, to strip me of comfort and of ease, and let no apathy remain in me. And I know this is too much for Mother's Day, and yet every mother knows, because God has used women to pray this prayer for many, many years. We celebrate a church full of men, And this is not your day, men, but you know I see you and I love you and I honor you and I thank God that this house is full of godly men. But you need to know that the reason there is a church today, the reason there is a capital C church is because of so many women who just would not give up. They held on. They prayed it through. They called it down. It is because of women who prayed. They literally birthed more than their own children. They birthed burdens and they built ministries and built churches and they established anointings. They know what it is to live and to worship with a broken heart. So why would we pray for brokenness? That doesn't make sense. I'll tell you why, because it's the only way I know to see it come to pass. I know we live in a day when churches are built with marketing and ministries are established with 60-second reels and 30-second clips, and we got ministries now on Facebook, and people are just talking everywhere. But the only way I know to establish a move of God, the only way I know to see a real life change happen, the only way I know to see a broken world find its healing is through the brokenness of a heart that is so committed and dedicated and given to the Lord. I know some are slick and some are cool and some are talented, but I only know the broken road in my life. And so I thank God for the broken road. But hear me, if you ask God to break you, He'll do it. This is one prayer that He will answer if you pray it. You say, Pastor Darrell, that makes me nervous. I understand. But what's going to happen? What's going to happen if I pray for brokenness? I'll tell you, you'll be burdened. You'll be grieved. Your heart will ache over injustices. You'll probably lose some sleep. You may burn with anger. Because if God truly breaks you, you'll end up doing things that others will not understand. You're likely to face opposition. There could be some criticism. Persecution is possible. But in all of your agony and all of your pain and in all of your discomfort, hear me, you will be blessed as your heart breaks over something that breaks the heart of God. Lord, break my heart. I've got just a few moments, but I want to tell you about Jeremiah today. Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he had a nickname. He was known as the weeping prophet. I'm not afraid to cry. I'm in touch with my emotions, but I do not want that name. I don't want to be called the weeping prophet. But there is some context as to why Jeremiah was weeping. See, the people of Judah were rebelling against God. And this was not just your common rebellion. This was not just a bad attitude or finding themselves in a bad way. This was strong rebellion. There were rampant injustices. The leaders were abusing the widows according to the scripture. They were taking advantage of the poor. In the most extreme of their rebellion, they were offering children as sacrifice to their false gods. It was a sad time, and literally when you read Jeremiah's rather small book, you see how God's heart was wrecked over their sinfulness. And because Jeremiah was God's prophet, his heart was wrecked, and he was aching, and he was burdened over all that was happening. I mean, how could anyone claim to know God, much less love him, and behave like this? How could anyone live their lives this way? How could anyone do this kind of injustice? Jeremiah was broken, and you can certainly feel it in his words. Jeremiah 8 and 18 is on the screen for you. He said, "My grief is beyond healing. My heart is broken." Verse 21, I hurt with the hurt of my people. I mourn and am overcome with grief. Jeremiah had done all that he knew to do. He prayed, he fasted, he preached strong sermons. In fact, we have a record of Jeremiah threatening the people. Listen, if you don't change your ways, I may get involved with this in a physical way. I may do some killing of my own, but it was not changing. The tide was not turning. And Jeremiah is saying, This is not happening fast enough for me. I'm praying on this, I'm fasting on this, but it is not turning, it is not changing. My grief is beyond healing. I'm hurting, I'm living in this state of mourning. And you say, "Pastor Darrell, is this what we're signing up for? All of a sudden, my regular boring days seems so much more interesting now." No, this is a dangerous prayer. This isn't a hobby. This isn't an occasional interest. This is a gut-wrenching burden. This is the kind of prayer that will consume your thoughts because it doesn't let up. This eats at you. This gnaws at you. And it leaves you with no choice but to act, to do something. I know there's a few senior saints in the room. There's a few old, long-time church heads in the room that understand what I'm talking about. We don't preach burden much anymore. We don't preach the travail much anymore. We don't preach about laying on the altar until things break much anymore. But I can't help but look around 2025 and see all that is happening and see our world that is falling apart and seeing teachers that are abusing kids and kids that are fighting kids and pulling guns in parks and all of the things that's happening even right here in our own community. And what I've figured out is that another light and another camera is not going to solve it. What we need is a mother that knows how to pray. We need people that are willing to carry a burden, people that are willing to get upset in the spirit and say, "You know what? I'm going to pray a dangerous prayer. I'm going to pray a gut-wrenching prayer. I'm going to pray it because I have no choice." No, this is the opposite of everything culture has programmed you to want. It's opposite of the softer, feel-good version of Christianity. I know that version. I know it too well. The current version says that God is for you and exists to only make your life better, and it's all name it and claim it, and there is no suffering and there is no struggle. But this is not that. And yet this is important because God needs someone to carry a burden. Our church needs someone to carry this kind of burden. I know it's a dangerous prayer, and not everyone is going to pray it, but I wonder, what if God's greatest blessings come from God's greatest breakings? I wonder if some of the things that you and I are lamenting and some of the things that you and I are saying, "Oh, that dirty devil, he's come after me." What if it's not the devil after all? What if it's the Lord saying, I'm trying to get you in a position that you are so desperate, I'm trying to get you in a place that you literally are willing to bend over neath the weight of a burden. I'm trying to get you in a place that you are more hungry for me than you are for food, that you would rather worship than anything else. I wonder, what if God's greatest blessings come from God's greatest breakings? What if God breaks our hearts for what breaks his? What if God blesses you with a holy hurt? What if he blesses you with a burden? You say, Pastor Darrell, so far everything you've described, it does not sound like a blessing. But what if someone's teenager gets saved because of the burden you carry? What if someone's life is turned around because of the travail in your spirit? I'm not comfortable with casual altars. I get it. We have scripted and we have programmed service so well. We have fine-tuned it so well that it's as slick as anything happening anywhere Hollywood or anybody else can produce. But I don't know. I can't help but feel like God is saying, no. I didn't ask you for slick. I didn't ask you for well-programmed. I asked someone to be my hands and feet in the earth. I asked someone to care about kids that have been abandoned. I ask someone to love people that no one else is willing to love. I asked for someone to put their heart on the altar and allow me to break it for the thing that breaks my heart, for someone to carry a burden, for someone to want to pray through a thing and to reach for a thing and to desire a thing and to see change happen in someone's life. Because here's what I know. Let me just testify today. Comfort has never moved me to action. More luxuries never shook me to care more about the suffering. And pain-free days never made me more like Jesus. You see, pain still purifies. Suffering still strengthens. Trials still teach us to depend on God. Lord, break my heart. I'm going to close quick today because I know there's lunch. And ladies, I hope someone is making lunch for you. I hope you get to sit today and put your feet up and get served and get pampered and get loved. I pray your every wish comes true today. So I want to get you into that posture just as quickly as possible. But before I go, I'm saying, Lord, break my heart. You say, Pastor Darrell, I got too much on my mind today. I'm running too many directions today. I hope you'll come back to this word. I hope you'll come back to YouTube this week or pick it up again on Facebook or go to thechurchcove.com and listen to it again when you get into a quiet space and say, Lord, what is it that you're wanting me to hear today? What is it that you're needing me to catch today? Lord, break my heart. Snap us out of our self-centered pursuit of ease, because I feel like I have to do something. I can't sit idly by. I am compelled to act, compelled to move. I'm compelled to be a mother in Zion who prays until things change. You remember Moses? Moses was just a young Hebrew boy. He watched those Egyptian soldiers beat his people into slavery. And it led him to a let my go, my people go moment. Or maybe David. David's just a young, get on your nerves little brother. Their father sent David with a basket of snacks. Go feed your brothers. Go make sure they get some nourishment. They're fighting a battle. And when David came upon that scene and saw that giant, something broke in him, and it led to a sling and stone moment. Nehemiah was comfortable in his palace job, but upon hearing the tragic news from home that the walls had fallen, a burden was born in the heart of Nehemiah. Walls were rebuilt. Families and a people were rebuilt also. What would happen today if we prayed, Lord, break my heart? What if God shook us out of our comfort zone? What if God stirred us with a divine burden that could not be ignored? I can't promise that your heart will not ache. In fact, I can guarantee that it will. You'll end up aching for the plight of the unborn. You may ache for children who can't read, for human trafficking, for racial injustice. It may be clean water, it may be financial bondage, it may be mental illness. It may be someone's addiction, it may be someone else's infidelity, it may be porn crisis. It may be teen cutting. It may be depression. Your heart will ache, and you'll pray, and you'll act, and you'll work until things change. Break me for something. Let me pray on it until something happens. I'll pray until it moves. I'll groan until the tide turns. I'll worship prophetically. I'll sing in the spirit. I'll war in prayer. Here's what I know today, and this is what I'll leave you with. It's better to hurt with a purpose than to exist without one. And again, every mother knows what I'm talking about because you live in this tension. You feel this every day of your life. Because as a general rule, it's mama that's fighting for spirituality in the home. It's mom reminding kids every single meal, like, can we not learn? Hey, are we not going to pray? We'll bow our heads. It's mom who's saying, come on, get up. Get up, get up, get up. I pray there's not a single man in this room that your wife is still having to nudge you. You're going to go today? You're going to get up? Girl, don't you see me standing here already dressed, waiting on you? I'll see you in June, men. Lord, break my heart. It's a dangerous prayer. I pray it today, knowing full well what you're asking, Lord. I pray it with full disclosure, with the fine print on display, almost like the new medicine commercial that reads the fine print so quickly at the end, too fast to even catch or understand. But Lord, you want us to know exactly what we're signing up for. The burden life is still the best life. The life that is willing to set aside time to pray through things is still the best life. Oh, I pray every mother in this room today is honored and loved and cherished. But I pray, Lord, there's something, some pilot light down in the deep of our soul. Maybe it's gone out. Maybe life, maybe circumstance. Maybe the challenges, maybe doubt, maybe fear, maybe just the unknown has snuffed that light out. But today, I invite you, Lord, to come into our hearts. Set a fire in our soul. We got young people that need the burden of adults. Got 200 families every week that pull on to this campus and open their trunks and back seats and are fed and blessed and helped. But Lord, it was never our intention just to feed people food. Our hands will pack the box, but our Spirit will speak a blessing over that home and that family and that life. Break our hearts, Lord, for what breaks yours. I pray today for every lady in the room. God bless them. They came today for a break, and the preachers added another burden. But they know there's a blessing in the breaking. And today, we accept it. In Jesus' name.